Welcome to Money for the Rest of Us. This is a personal finance show on money, how it works, how to invest it, and how to live without worrying about it. I'm your host, David Stein. Today is episode 469. It's titled, Which Will Be a Better Investment, Berkshire Hathaway or Utility Stocks? 5 years ago in episode 242, we released an episode titled, Should You Let Warren Buffett Manage Your Money? In the episode, we evaluated Berkshire Hathaway as we would an outside money manager that we were going to hire. I spent over 15 years as an asset manager, but also co-led a research group that researched money managers, long-only stock managers, hedge funds, and other asset classes. Our process focused on the people. Who's making the portfolio decisions? What is their process? And what has the performance been? Back in 2019, when we released that episode, Berkshire Hathaway's B-class shares were selling for $200. One could have, effectively, Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger, and the other leaders of Berkshire Hathaway manage your money. Every February, Berkshire Hathaway releases their annual letter that Warren Buffett writes. In that February 2019 episode, we referenced the 2018 annual letter in which Buffett wrote, with Ajit Jain and Greg Abel running operations, a great collection of businesses, a Niagara of cash generation, a cadre of talented managers, and a rock-solid culture, your company is in good shape for whatever the future brings. In that annual letter, Buffett talked about how he and his longtime partner, Charlie Munger, evaluated companies, evaluated the stocks to purchase. Now 5 years have passed. Charlie Munger passed away late last year at age 99. Buffett is 93. He is still the chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway. He has revealed that Greg Abel is his pick to succeed him as the CEO eventually, although Buffett is still very much involved. Buffett wrote, Greg will be more successful than I have been, and if I said otherwise, my nose would grow. Abel is now 61. He is in charge of all Berkshire's non-insurance businesses. Berkshire Hathaway owns 65 companies, including insurance companies such as Geico, railroads, utilities, which we'll talk about some in this episode. In reading the 2023 annual letter that came out last month, there was one paragraph that really stood out to me that I very much appreciated. Buffett wrote, Nevertheless, managing Berkshire is mostly fun and always interesting. On the positive side, after 59 years of assemblage, the company now owns either a portion or 100% of various businesses that on a weighted basis have somewhat better prospects than exist at most large American companies. By both luck and pluck, a few huge winners have emerged from a great many dozens of decisions. And now we have a small cadre of longtime managers who never muse about going elsewhere and who regard 65 as just another birthday. Many of Berkshire Hathaway's leaders enjoy what they do and aren't retiring anytime soon. They live like they're already retired. And that has led to Berkshire Hathaway's success. There are some challenges, though, which is why we're sort of looking at what about going forward? How will Berkshire Hathaway do? Would it be better to purchase a utility ETF? Is Berkshire Hathaway becoming more like a utility because of their huge cash-generating ability and the sheer size and scale of the company? Buffett writes, Our goal at Berkshire is simple. We want to own either all or a portion of businesses that enjoy good economics and that are fundamental and enduring. He points out it's very, very difficult to predict which business will be a winner or loser. And those who tell you they know the answer are usually either self-delusional or snake oil salesmen. Their one investment rule is never risk permanent loss of capital. And he mentioned the benefit of the tailwind of American capitalism, the power of compound interest, have helped Berkshire Hathaway over the years. Berkshire Hathaway, though, doesn't pay a dividend. Many of its businesses generate dividends, but Berkshire Hathaway doesn't. It does buy back its stock. But there's a challenge with Berkshire Hathaway now. Its cash balance keeps growing. There's $168 billion of cash on its balance sheet. That increased by $39 billion over the past year. Historically, Berkshire Hathaway has used that pile of cash to make acquisitions, to add to its portfolio of companies. But Berkshire Hathaway is so large that Buffett writes there remain only a handful of companies in this country capable of truly moving the needle at Berkshire. And they have been endlessly picked over by us and by others. Some we can value, some we can't. And if we can, they have to be attractively priced. Outside the U.S., there are essentially no candidates that are meaningful options for capital deployment at Berkshire. All in all, we have no possibility of eye-popping performance. Those are sobering comments. Buffett is suggesting that they're not necessarily going to be able to find some big acquisition that could have a meaningful impact on the company. And as a result, Buffett writes that Berkshire should do a bit better than the average American corporation, and more important, should also operate with materially less risk of permanent loss of capital. Anything beyond slightly better, though, is wishful thinking. Things have changed at Berkshire Hathaway. Its scale, its size, the fact that Charlie Munger is no longer there. Before we continue, let me pause and share some words from one of our sponsors, Shopify. If you're running a new or existing business, I can't think of a better partner than Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch of your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? Shopify is there to help you grow, whether you're selling shipping supplies or clothing. They can help you sell everywhere with their all-in-one e-commerce platform, as well as their in-person POS system. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. When I order from an online shop and see that they're using Shopify, that gives me a great deal of confidence my order will be correct and arrive in a timely manner. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., including Allbirds and Brooklinen, and entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/David, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/David now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/David. So how did the stock do over the past 5 years since we released that episode? Well, it doubled in price. The B-class shares were at $200 in February 2019. As of early March 2024, the B-class shares sell for just over $400. That's a 15% annualized return. If we compare that to the S&P 500, it did the same. 15% annualized return. It matched. That was one of our points back in February 2019, is that essentially Berkshire Hathaway, given its size, was having a difficult time outperforming the S&P. It had basically trailed slightly over the previous 15-year period. Even though since 1964, Berkshire shares have returned 4.4 million percent cumulative versus 31,000% cumulative for the S&P 500. The level of outperformance since the mid-60s has just been outstanding, almost unbelievable. But the power of compounding. It's remarkable that given its size, Berkshire has been able to actually appreciate 15% annualized. It matched the S&P, but did much better than your typical active manager. If we look at Morningstar's annual study on the success rate of active managers, the percent that have outperformed a passive ETF, so a U.S. large blended manager seeking to outperform the S&P 500, only 10% have outperformed the S&P over the past decade. 9% for the past 15 years and 20 years. So the fact that Berkshire matched the index is good, great, really, compared to its competitors. Buffett, back in that 2018 annual report, said diversification is a protection against ignorance. It makes very little sense for those who know what they're doing. But he qualified that. The goal of the non-professional should not be to pick winners. Neither he nor his helpers can do that, but should rather be to own a cross-section of businesses that in aggregate are bound to do well. A low-cost S&P 500 index fund will achieve this goal. And it has. It's matched the return of Berkshire Hathaway with less volatility. The standard deviation of the S&P 500 over the past 5 years is 19%. This is a measure of volatility, how dispersed the returns were relative to the average return. Berkshire Hathaway's standard deviation was 20.6%. So just a little more volatile than the S&P over the past 5 years. One of the things I really appreciate about Warren Buffett is how frank he is in his annual letter, owning up to challenges and admitting to mistakes. One of those challenges and mistakes, as he would call it, is Berkshire Hathaway Energy. He talked about how the electric utility business has changed over the years. And that's why we're discussing whether to invest in utility funds, a utility ETF, or Berkshire Hathaway. Now, on the surface, Berkshire Hathaway has done much better than utility funds. So it's somewhat of a kind of a false argument, as we'll see with utility funds. Because Buffett discussed some of the challenges, it's something that I'm often asked about. Should we invest in utilities as a cash-generating investment, given the dividend yields are 3.5%? Buffett discusses the model of how electric utilities work. Most, if not all, are regulated. They have to report to some type of utility commission on a state-by-state basis. And because of the need for utilities to build out infrastructure, power lines and power plants, the lead time to do that is very long. And the amount of capital it takes is quite large. And as a result, utility companies, electric utilities, work with states to set the rate. And there's essentially some guarantee, some predictability in terms of the revenue in order to service the debt and have the equity capital necessary to make these very long-term commitments. Buffett mentioned that Berkshire Hathaway Energy has a multi-state transmission project in the West. One of their major utility holdings is Pacific Corp. And this project they've been working on since 2006. And it's still not done. But when it is, it will serve 10 Western states and comprise about 30% of the acreage of the continental U.S. The utility model in working with the states allowed utilities to earn a stable, solid return in investing capital. And that's what attracted Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway to the business model. But there has been an increase in wildfires out west. And there have been lawsuits against utility companies because in some cases, a downed power pole or some other electrical line helped spark or spread the wildfire. Pacific Corp faces potentially $8 billion of damages due to a 2020 wildfire because it failed to shut off power lines. In fact, if you live in California, you know that many of the utilities there, they cut off power. They'll do rolling blackouts because if the winds are super high, they'll cut power in order to reduce the risk of a wildfire starting. Buffett in the annual report said that Berkshire has made their best estimate for the amount of losses that have occurred. Those costs arose from forest fires whose frequency and intensity have increased and will likely continue to increase if convective storms become more frequent. And as we've mentioned with climate change, with rising temperatures, that leads to more thunderstorms, more flooding. We looked at this in an episode last year, are natural disasters increasing? We learned that forest fires across the world are actually not increasing because agriculture is increasing. There's just better forest management, but not everywhere. And in areas that are getting warmer, such as the Western U.S., there have been more forest fires. And now utilities face potential liability to where their survival is threatened. PG&E filed for bankruptcy in 2019. They eventually emerged, but because of liability related to fire. And Buffett writes, a confiscatory resolution of our present problems would obviously be a negative for Berkshire Hathaway Energy, that if they lose this lawsuit. But he continues, that company in Berkshire is structured to survive negative surprises. We regularly get these in our insurance business, where our basic product is risk assumption, and they will occur elsewhere. Berkshire can sustain financial surprises, but we will not knowingly throw good money after bad. And he suggests that investing in utilities is just not going to be as safe as it has been in the past because of the potential liabilities and just the sheer cost. He points out if they have to bury power lines, just how expensive that will be. Here in Tucson, there's been ongoing back and forth between the need for Tucson Power to build an additional power line through the middle of the city. The neighbors don't want it. They want it buried, but who's going to pay the cost? It's incredibly expensive to bury power lines. Buffett says eventually there might not be a private-public model of utilities anymore. They'll be owned by the state, by the government. Buffett concludes, when the dust settles, America's power needs and the consequent capital expenditure will be staggering. I did not anticipate or even consider the adverse developments in regulatory returns along with Berkshire's two partners at BHE. I made the costly mistake in not doing so. Buffett's suggesting that it's the regulatory environment that is becoming more challenging, including lawsuits, that perhaps they're not able to raise the rates as much as they want to basically cover the cost of burying power lines or things such as that. Although critics will say that power companies skimped on line maintenance and capital improvements. But it's not an easy business. Before we continue, let me pause and share some words from this week's sponsors. Your business was humming, but now you're falling behind. Teams buried in manual work, taking forever to close the books. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and more. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down cost. 1. Because your business is one of a kind, so you can get a customized solution for all your KPIs in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecast, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow all in one place. I know in our business, we've seen having the key information is critical to making better decisions. And NetSuite can help make that possible for you. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist, designed to give you consistently excellent performance, absolutely free, at netsuite.com/David. That's netsuite.com/David to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/David. What I didn't know, and I just learned this a few weeks ago as I was talking to Camden, we've lived out west in the mountain states for over 20 years now, and I'm used to cheap power. In Idaho, at our cabin, we pay $35 line maintenance fee, and then we pay 6 cents per kilowatt hour for power. We also have solar panels that we can actually reduce our electricity use and even sell excess power back to the grid. So I was shocked when Camden mentioned that their per kilowatt hour charge in the Bay Area is over 50 cents per kilowatt hour. A study by the Energy Institute at UC Berkeley's Haas Business School and the nonprofit think tank Next10 found that PG&E customers, of which my son is one, pay 80% more per kilowatt hour than the national average. The national average on a per kilowatt hour basis is around 16 cents, and that's what we pay in Tucson. In Idaho, it's 6 cents, at least our little local power company. Why is it that California has such high cost? And there's multiple reasons. It isn't just because of forest fires. It's the geography of California. It's big, it's massive, and the weather's great, which means they're not having to run air conditioners as much, and they're not having to use electricity to heat their house. And so on a per capita BTU basis, California ranks 50th in terms of the amount of power used per person. And if you're using less power per person, yet you have all this infrastructure to generate the power and carry it over transmission lines, And upwards of 40% of the heat is lost or power is lost through transmission lines. Then each person has to pay more on a per kilowatt hour basis to cover those fixed costs. Montana and North Dakota and Wyoming use the most power per person. This is residential use. Cold there. So they're using it to electricity, and it can be darker there in winter also. So there's some basic economics of power in California. It's just more expensive. But when we think about utilities, they do have these huge capital investments, both to ensure the stability of the grid, protect it from natural disasters, but there's the renewable energy transition, as many power companies have moved away from coal, which can be very inexpensive if you have an existing plant, to more renewable sources. But there's all these capital costs. And now the potential liability that they're facing. And so when we think about investing in utilities, Buffett's suggesting that we could be putting good money after bad. We step back and think, well, how has utilities investing done? The Vanguard Utilities ETF, ticker is VPU, expense ratio is 0.1%, 65 holdings, the dividend yields 3.5%. If we look over the past 5 years, it's returned 4.49% annualized return. So it has lagged the S&P 500 and Berkshire Hathaway by 10 percentage points. If we go back 20 years, utilities have done better relative to the S&P, 8.6% versus 9.8% for the S&P 500. I was shocked thinking, well, utilities are known for their stability. They've actually been slightly more volatile than the S&P 500. There's certainly, you get some correlation benefit. So last year, utilities lost 7.5%, while the S&P 500 gained 26%. Whereas in 2022, the Vanguard's utility ETF returned 1%, while the S&P 500 lost 18%. And so there is some correlation benefit to investing in utilities. But utilities certainly had a challenging 2023 because interest rates are going up and because utilities are interest rate sensitive, partly because investors want the dividend. But if your dividend is 3.5%, that's great when yields on cash were close to zero. But now yields on cash are over 5%. And so why take the volatility of utilities when you can earn 5% on cash? In addition, utilities are struggling because as interest rates go up, like many businesses, they have huge capital projects to build out the grid, renewable energy. So the cost of debt is going up. Utilities have their highest debt cost that they've seen in decades. And their leverage is going up. They're having to take on more leverage as they're facing these big capital expenditures. If we think about a reasonable return going forward for utilities, they're yielding 3.5%. If they could grow that dividend and earnings 4%, that's a 7.5% return. Well, the alternative is Berkshire Hathaway, which doesn't pay a dividend. Buffett writes, Berkshire does not currently pay dividends, and its share repurchases are 100% discretionary. I could see a time, though, if Berkshire Hathaway is not finding ways to deploy its cash in purchasing other companies, and last year it bought back $9 billion of stock, yet its cash balance still increased $39 billion, at some point, Berkshire Hathaway will probably initiate a dividend, and it'll be a dividend stock. We discussed dividend stocks a few episodes ago. It would be interesting to see what that dividend yield would be, but we saw how Meta's stock jumped after their dividend was announced. And it would be interesting to see if the same thing would happen to Berkshire Hathaway if and when they start paying a dividend. Their underlying companies are paying dividends, and now Berkshire's been able to deploy the capital in new acquisitions. But Buffett admits there are very few acquisitions, if any, that they could use that big cash balance that they have. So we can get a 3.5% dividend yield with utilities, but we know there's some challenges. VPU, the Vanguard Utility ETF, has about 65 holdings. Berkshire Hathaway has around 65 companies, lots of cash. Berkshire is more diversified in terms of its industry exposure with insurance, railroads, manufacturing, consumer products, retail, and utilities. If I'm going to choose between the two, I'll invest with Berkshire Hathaway, even though there's no dividend currently. I do have some small utility exposure. I own the Macquarie First Trust Global Infrastructure Fund. So it has utility as well as energy infrastructure, including MLPs. The ticker is MFD. I've owned it 3 years. It's done about as well as the Vanguard Utilities ETF. I like it, though, is because I bought it at a discount to its net asset value, about a 13% discount. And its distribution rate's much higher because it uses leverage and because of the discount. Its current distribution rate is 11%. We discussed this last month in one of our Plus Premium episodes because there's a big proxy battle right now for MFD. Macquarie once has sold a number of its funds to Aberdeen, and now there's a proxy battle to merge it, but Saba Capital, an activist hedge fund, is fighting a proxy battle to get board seats so that they believe there are more shareholder-friendly ways to reduce the discount to net asset value for MFD. So there are more aggressive ways to play utilities like I have. And not every utility is in the Western U.S. with wildfire risk. They are more volatile than the S&P, at least over the last 5 years. They do face challenges. But generally, we want greater diversification. So Berkshire Hathaway is one way to do that. But they only match the S&P 500. We could have owned the S&P 500 ETF, as Buffett recommends. I prefer the dynamism of broad-based ETFs, how the company makeup can change over time as the economy evolves, and we can participate in that dynamism. I don't do a lot with sector ETFs. I want to own the entire pie. I have some minor exposure. I own some ETFs in exponential technology. I own small utilities. I do own some REITs, which is commercial real estate sector. But generally, I think most people are better off owning a broad-based ETF. And then they complement that with other things, including Berkshire Hathaway. So if I have to choose between Berkshire Hathaway and utility and a utility ETFs going forward, I'll go with Berkshire Hathaway because it is more diversified, potential for that big dividend at some point. But ultimately, I would prefer a broad-based ETF that invests in all types of stocks, not just 65, but hundreds, if not over 1,000. That's our discussion of Berkshire Hathaway versus utilities. Thanks for listening. You may be missing some of the best Money for the Rest of Us content. Our weekly Insider's Guide email newsletter goes beyond what we cover in our podcast episodes and helps elevate your investment journey with information that works best in written and visual formats. With the Insider's Guide, you can discover actionable investing insights provided only to our newsletter subscribers. Unlock greater investing confidence with high-value snippets from our premium products, Plus Membership and Asset Camp. Access exclusive news, offers, and events you won't hear about anywhere else. Further connect with the Money for the Rest of Us team and community. And when you sign up, we'll also send you our exclusive investing checklist to help you invest with more confidence right away. The Insider's Guide is the best next step to get the most out of your investment journey. If you're not on the list, go to moneyfortherestofus.com and subscribe with the Become a Better Investor sign-up box. Everything I've shared with you in this episode has been for general education. I'm not considered your specific risk situation. I've not provided investment advice. This is simply general education on money, investing in the economy. Have a great week.